Good. So we've been looking through Matthew 7, finishing off the Sermon on the Mount, and there's still quite a bit of a ways to go, but we're finishing off a section here from Matthew 7, chapter 1 to 7, chapter 12. And so we talked about not being judgmental in the first five verses, and then there's an exception to the rule about being discerning, not casting your pearls before swine, and that kind of thing. And then there's the relationship with Father God in verse 7 to 11, when we talked about how God is the good Father, and he gives good things, and we just need to ask. And then in verse 12, we get to the golden rule. We get to the golden rule. And so I'll read the whole lot from 7 verse 1 through to verse 12. And it says, "Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if a child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets." And God blesses the reading of his word to us. Hillel, the Hebrew rabbi, said this: "Do not do to thy neighbor what is hateful to thyself." Socrates, or if you watch the film Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Socrates, the Greek philosopher, said, "What stirs your anger when done to you by others, that do not do to others." And then Confucius, the Chinese sage, said, "What you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others." These statements are worlds away from what Jesus said. Their rules are negative and passive. Jesus' rule is positive and active. In essence, these wise men said, "Avoid doing to others what you do not want done to you." And Jesus said, "Think of something good you wish someone would do for you, and then do it for someone else." So as you can see from that little story there, the golden rule has been around for a very long time. It was long before Jesus' time. So what in fact is Jesus getting at here? Well, in order to understand this verse, you've got to understand its context. The context goes right back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, when we talked about Jesus and his relationship to the law and the prophets. And all of the examples that Jesus goes through and all the things that he talks about in chapter 5 and chapter 6, and now at the beginning of chapter 7, all sums up this law and prophets thing. Basically, Jesus' rule is not to be based on ourself, but to be based on the values of the kingdom of God. Our culture is very selfish. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. But Jesus is saying, if you're going to live the kingdom of God, it's got to be based on God. And as I reflected on this in the week, what I think we need to hear is that as disciples of Jesus, our lives need to be based upon God's love for us and our love for God. And then you might say to me, "Well, the love for God is not mentioned in this verse anywhere, Ian. What are you talking about?" Well, that phrase, "This is the law and the prophets," that is the summation. That is like, that includes what Jesus said when he talks about loving God with all our heart and our soul, our mind and our strength. And the second commandment is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so the implication for us is that from loving God comes love for neighbor. That as we love God, our lives are transformed by him, we imitate him, we begin to love in the same way that God loves. Just as we see from verse 11. What does the good father do? He gives good things. And so the challenge for us is that if we need to have our lives based on God's love for us and our love for God, how do we live like this? How do we live giving good things? How do we live loving our neighbor as ourselves? And so I've got three things. The first one is quite simply what I've just been talking to you about. Love God. Love God. I found this quote. God does not say, be good and I will love you. Rather, he says, because I love you, you should be good. If you flick over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, it says this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. That's what the New RSV says, but other translations say the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Jesus quotes this verse in Matthew chapter 22, and then he adds on the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, as we mentioned before, the culture is inherently selfish. We want to do what we want to do. We want to have our lives mapped out the way we want them done. We don't want anybody to control us. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. There are lots of people that have issues with authority because, hey, this is my life. You can't tell me what to do. And it's great when children say, you can't tell me what to do. And I say, well, actually, I flipping well can because I'm your parent. And one of the things we, you know, bringing up Zoe is, who's the parent and who's the child? But our culture is inherently selfish. It's the consequence of the Enlightenment thinking that said that we're progressing to greater and greater things. Man is going to get progressively more clever and all the technology is going to take over. And it's all about the individual. It was all about individual. And then the individual was going to grow. And so the consequence of that kind of thinking is what we've got now, which is look after number one. It's only you. And people say, you've got to love yourself. And actually, the kind of self-love that the culture talks about is cruel. Because as Morgan Freeman says in the film Bruce Almighty, Morgan Freeman plays the part of God, and Bruce is played by Jim Carrey, and God gives Bruce all his powers. And he says, be me, be God for a day. And so Bruce has to learn how to answer people's prayers. And what he does is, he just says yes to all. He just gives everybody what they want. And then chaos ensues. And so God says to Bruce, and he says to him, yeah, but since when do people have a clue about what they want? Because the reality is, we might think we know what we need and what we want, but actually, we don't have a clue. Because we're not God, we're not sovereign. The truth is, we only can love ourselves properly when we know God's love for us and when we love God with our whole being. And so when Jesus says, do to others what you'd have them do to you, treat other people the way you would be treated, he's saying, love other people in the way that you would be loved. Think about them first in just the same way that God thought about you first. When Jesus went to the cross, was he thinking about himself? I should imagine he was thinking about a lot of pain that he was in, but I think he thought of us. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me. Yes, Jesus loves me he loves me because he loved me first. I love him because he loved me first. We can only love other people if we genuinely know the love of Father and love God first in all things. Because then we begin to see things from his perspective and love other people the way he loves them. So the first thing, if we're going to love our neighbours as ourselves, if we're going to follow the golden rule in our lives, we've got to love God first. And the second thing that comes out of this is be proactive. If we go back to that illustration at the beginning, all the other, you know, Hillel, Confucius, Socrates, they all came from a negative, passive view of the rule. But Jesus' rule is different. Because the other rules say, oh, well, just avoid harm's way. Just stay out of trouble, basically. But actually, Jesus is totally different. He says, be proactive. It means you have to take the initiative first. Love them. Do something for them. The other ones breed inactivity and just whatever. Well, I'll just stay away from that. Avoid this. Nothing to do with me. But actually, Jesus says, no, take the first step. Take the initiative. But here's the problem. There's something that usually stops us from being proactive in such a way, in loving our neighbours like this. And here's a story that I want to pull something out of. People who supervise others have decisions to make every day. They range from minor incidents to vital problems, whether to reprimand someone for being 5 minutes late or to setting quotas on a production line. Every decision saps energy and requires effort, but every decision must be made. If an important policy or big sums are involved, take time to think, but not to tremble. Consider the angles. Then if it's up to you, make the best decision you can and let the chips fall where they may. Your decision will never be 100% correct. Neither will those of your subordinates. If you want action, not indecision, make it clear that you don't expect perfection every time. Good leaders want their managers to manage. They want action and a winning average, not perfection. They want an organization that moves instead of one that rests on its laurels for fear of making mistakes. The thing that stops us from being proactive and loving our neighbours as ourselves is we're afraid. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of making a mistake or saying the wrong thing or of getting it all wrong or of getting the wrong end of the stick. Afraid of what the other person might say or do. But as the illustration says, we don't want perfection. We want love. We need love. We want movement. We want to move and live together in the values of the kingdom. We can't live and love like this, like or follow Jesus' rule, if we're afraid. And that's why we need to love God and know God's love for us. Why? As 1 John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, perfect love casts out fear. So if we want to love others, we need to be proactive in how we treat other people. We need to love first, go out of our way to love. And I admit, this is not an easy thing to do. But it's what Jesus' rule tells us. And then the third thing about loving our neighbours as ourselves is to do it always. This isn't just a one-time thing or for big decisions or whatever. This is in everything. If you look at the verse 12, in everything, do to others as you'd have them do to you. It's not just for people that you like, but it's especially for people that you don't like. It's not just for people we know, but it's for people that we don't know. It's not just for Christians, but especially for non-Christians, people who don't believe, people of no faith, or people of a different faith. So the logic is, if verse 6 is the exception, then verse 12 is the rule. This is the rule for all people and all time. Only sometimes do we need to be discerning and say, oh, well, I'm not sure about that. And I won't give my pearls before swine, as it were. But generally, the rule is, for all people at all time, love them with the same love that we've received from the Father. Our lives as disciples must be to shed this cultural baggage of selfishness. Of fear and selfishness. Oh, well, I can't do that. I can't get involved in that. I'm afraid. Or it's all about me and I just don't care about anybody else. And begin to see God the way God... Begin to see people the way God sees them. And treat them the way that God treats us with good things. So that means if we like having friends, we need to be friendly. Be a friend. As the film in Bruce Almighty says, you know, God says to him at the end of the day, you know, if you want to see something happen, you do it. You be the miracle. It was a huge deal. because it turns it all on its head. If we like hospitality, then we need to be hospitable. And the list could go on for ages. This isn't just a tap that we turn on when, oh, the minister said we ought to do it, maybe I better think about it. It's not just a tap we turn on and off, but in all things. Because that's the way God loves us. It's Jesus' rule to be followed in all things, in everything. And so therefore, Jesus' rule, as we've said, implies to us that God loves us. We've got to love the way God loves us. Love our neighbours as ourselves. And we could talk about self-love and what that truly means. And I think we've done that in a previous message somewhere before. And that means seeing ourselves as God sees us. So if we're going to love our neighbours as ourselves, love our neighbours as God loves us, we've got to do it by loving God first, shedding our selfishness, being proactive, shedding our fear, and doing it all the time, for all the people, in every situation. Let's spend a moment in quiet and just ask the Lord, Lord, what's the one thing I need to take away from this that you're telling me today, from Jesus' golden rule? What do I need to hear this morning? We'll just leave it quiet for a minute. Father, we hear the words of Jesus, in everything do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. And that phrase which sums up the greatest commandment and the second greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our soul, all our strength, all our mind, all our hearts, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. We hear the challenge of that. And for some of us, we need to come afresh back to our first love and realize, yes, Lord, we need to love you again afresh. Because maybe our hearts and our minds have been taken off that for whatever reason. Others of us, we do love you, Lord, but we really struggle with this idea of being proactive, of taking the initiative, either because it's not naturally in our character or because we're afraid. And right now, Lord, we want to break off the fear in Jesus' name. Lord, will you come and pour in your love afresh into our hearts? Thank you for that verse in Romans 5, where it says the Holy Spirit has been shed abroad in our hearts. He has poured the love of God into our very beings. And so, Lord, maybe today we need to have a fresh experience of that, so that fear doesn't become an issue, because we know who we are, we know whose we are, we know we're loved of God, who is a good, good Father. And so, Lord, for those of us who struggle to be proactive because of fear, Lord, will you come and show us your love afresh? And Father, for those of us who are tired, we're tired because we've tried to do this in everything and we're just fed up because the return is nil. Lord, will you strengthen our weary head? May we not grow weary in doing good, but instead in all things acknowledge you, and in all things love our neighbours as ourselves. Will you come and strengthen us by your Holy Spirit? May that Trinitarian strapline become a reality for us who are tired. To trust the Father, receive the Spirit, and tell the story of the Son. Lord, whatever it is you're speaking to us this morning, may we hear your voice and respond. In Jesus' name, amen.